Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. Today's the day to wake up from our worldly slumber. Today is the day to rise up and seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Jesus says that the last days will be characterized by the church falling asleep, and it's found in the parable of the 10 virgins. The sleep he is referring to is not being comfortable on your new pillow top mattress. It's being asleep in the world. That is, being caught up in the passing pursuits of the world and forgetting about the things of God. As I said last week, what would you think of those on board the Titanic who were caught up in the beauty of the furnishings of the ship when the ship is in fact going down? We would think that they were incredibly foolish. But that is who we are when Jesus has promised that all of our worldly pursuits will be burned up, and yet we persist in being obsessed with worldly gain and worldly pastimes to the neglect of the things which will not be burned up. Today is the day to seek first the kingdom of God, to make it your goal this week to begin storing up treasure in heaven. And how do we do that? We set apart time for Jesus. We make room for the Savior. We set apart time to read His Word. Go out for a walk. Open up a conversation with Him. Get to know Him. This is time well spent. Take our challenge to read the Gospel of Matthew for yourself. It's 30 pages. Take the 30-page challenge. It will set your feet on the firm, hard path. Now, we're going to do a study, and we're in the middle of a study on this very book, the Gospel of Matthew. Today, we are on Lesson 8. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 7, where we are examining the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Mercy is the cornerstone of the kingdom of God to such a degree that if we don't extend mercy to others, we have put ourselves in great jeopardy with God. Mercy is so pivotal to God's salvation that without it we'll die. And if we withhold it, we will die. God makes extending mercy to be a prerequisite for entering the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35 says that if you do not forgive those who wrong you, neither will the Father who is in heaven forgive you. And that's a very strong word. Let's see just how significant these words are to us. Everyone has places where they have been greatly wounded. And these areas are very hard to let go of. Almost everyone is carrying around within them a degree of mercilessness and unforgiveness. And that's why these words are so pertinent to us all. Everyone has areas to deal with, even those who have been Christians a long time. So everyone must grapple with unforgiveness. When Jesus teaches His disciples how to pray, He gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. I call it the suicide prayer. I caution you, Do not pray the Lord's Prayer unless you have read it through carefully and understood it and signed off on it. Because this prayer is death to us if we don't understand what we are praying. Why is that? Because we are asking God, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, to forgive us our sins the same as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. We are giving him the liberty to hold our sins against us if we withhold forgiveness from those who sin against us. There are those who say the Lord's Prayer by rote. It's easy to do without thinking of the consequences. And those prayers stand before God. We're giving God our consent to exclude us from heaven if we haven't forgiven everyone from the heart who offends us. In Matthew chapter 18, it says that if we owe the king 10,000 talents, which is a very large sum of money, and someone owes us 100 denarii, that was just a few dollars at the time, if we don't forgive the small debt from our heart, our Heavenly Father will not forgive our huge debt. So it's not good enough just to say the words of, I forgive you. No, it must actually be from the heart. This is a lesson to really tackle in prayer. It's an area that we all suffer under. And how do I know that? Because these wounds that we have received still bother us. They wouldn't bother us if we had truly let them go. So this is the evidence that we all need to examine closely the Word of God, where Jesus tells us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. There are so many areas of our life where we are not extending mercy that we may have forgotten about. So today, let's point out some things to think about. Most people hearing this broadcast are Christians or consider themselves so, and as such, each one considers themselves to be basically pretty nice. And I'm here to shoot down that idea and expose what we really look like. My hope is that we will be in pain because of what our souls really look like and come to true repentance before the Lord. That's my job for the day. Unfortunately for me, I happen to be at the top of that list myself and the first in the parade. So this lesson is equally painful for me. So here goes. We have two kingdoms, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world is an extension of hell. Augustine, in his book, The City of God, points out that our culture assimilates the character of hell, and we are actually part of the society of hell because of our heart attitudes. In contrast to this, we have the city of God, and we're going to parallel these two worlds. We're born into the world, and the world has a mentality of always trying to better themselves in the sight of others. It's one of the main driving forces of life. We try to have a good appearance and put a good face on everything that we do. This is universal, from the pastor of our church to a criminal who's in jail who thinks that he doesn't belong there because he's basically a good person and he really had good intentions when he committed some crime. We all do this. From kindergarten to the Fortune 500, we want to look good in the eyes of others. It goes back to us having a huge hole in our heart where we want to be loved. And we also have this view of ourselves as being better than everyone else. Our team is better. Our company is better. Everyone else is viewed as a competitor. We have a basic barnyard mentality from the chicken coop to the universities, of wanting to establish a pecking order. In the effort to make ourselves look better, the easiest way is to make others look worse. You know, it's so much easier than actually trying to be better. So with a word of criticism, we put others down and elevate ourselves in our own eyes. The quickest way to attain our ends of self-elevation is to criticize. And it's very easy and it's very fun. It's right in your face and it's very simple to fall into. Because of our nature of wanting to make others look bad, we have set up a mentality of competitive ruthlessness. We have an amazingly merciless society. Practically, our whole society is now based on this competitiveness and this ruthlessness. Our kids are trained in this from peewee hockey and little league straight through their whole lives, and it translates to their business, to their company, and all that's connected to them. If someone falls, they may not say it, but they're glad because they're going to take their place. There's a ruthless competition in business and no mercy. We see it in sports. We see that there may be a star pitcher who has propelled the team to the World Series 3 times. But if his arm gets injured or weak, or he makes a mistake, or he loses a critical game, what happens? The next season, he's been traded. He's gone. And it's the same in the business world. All you have to do is make a mistake and you're gone. If the stock points go down 1%, the CEO is gone. Our society is ruthless and there is no mercy. The problem is we live in the world and guess what happens? We assimilate this mentality. It's all around us and it affects everybody. There's probably no one hearing this that considers themselves as ruthless. But in truth, we have many ways to be merciless. And the most common way to do that is to point out others' faults. It's so easy, and we can do it with nothing more than a sarcastic comment. In that moment of pointing out a flaw in someone, it elevates us in our own eyes. And for those who have just received Christ and are newly out of the world, there's a lot of baggage of the world that needs to be worked out of us. Everything that we've saturated ourselves in is based on pointing out someone's flaws. This is the root of practically all comedy today. These demeaning, sarcastic, quick jabs followed by laugh tracks make up most of the humor. Whoever is the quickest at killing the other with their words is thought to be the funniest. So this mentality is pervasive and is very natural. It's very easy to fall into this critical mindset or to do it in a comic way. It's not only debilitating and hurtful to them. We also see in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38, that the very measure of judgment we use on others will be used by God to judge us. So that quick-witted sarcasm, that quick pointing out of someone's fault, makes us liable for judgment. We have many opportunities each day to draw attention to every little thing that people do wrong. In contrast to that world, we have the amazing world of Jesus, the city of God, where no one thinks ill of another person. And that's what heaven is made of. That alone is enough to make heaven the most wonderful place there is. Just imagine if everyone was thinking well of each other and speaking well of each other. That would be heaven. Even if someone does something that's questionable, in God's world, they put the best construction on it. It is the very kingdom of God when we make an excuse for somebody instead of pointing out their mistakes. That is a very godly trait. The book of Proverbs says, "The wicked accuse, but the godly defend." How many opportunities do we have in the course of one day to accuse or to defend? The kingdom of this present world is made up of all the most perfect, the best dressed, the most successful, the most popular, the best looking, the most ruthless, the most competitive people. These are the ones that the world accepts. In contrast, the kingdom of God accepts only bumblers and stumblers and losers. Those are the only ones that God's kingdom accepts. It's for those who understand and recognize in all the areas in which they mess up and stumble in. And that's why reading the word is so inspiring. It's just like a mirror that shows us exactly what we look like. When we see what we really look like, we start to become eligible for the kingdom of God. Before that, we aren't ready. We don't qualify. Now, the reason God has done it this way is to give us a special blessing that the kingdom of this present world can never know, which is an amazing compassion and gentleness and mercy toward others who mess up. He's formed his people into a fraternity of bumbling stumblers. When we're accused, we're not arguing the case. This is the beauty of the kingdom of God. When someone comes against us and said, "You're a terrible person," we can say, "No contest. I know. It's a given. That's why I'm with God." We don't have to defend ourselves against accusations because we have already come to grips with the reality that we are all this and more. We know we're sinners. We don't have to try to prove that we aren't. That's the kingdom of the world, always trying to look good and defend ourselves. The kingdom of hell is to rise up and defend ourselves. The kingdom of heaven is to say, "I know I'm a sinner. No contest. What you just pointed out makes me glorify God that he would save such a person as me. I know I'm like that. Isn't it amazing that God took me anyway?" That's God's awesome kingdom. This takes the sting out of harsh accusations. If someone makes a mistake in the kingdom of God, let's say we had a ball team in the kingdom of God, and say the pitcher throws a bad game, the team gets together and decides they'd rather forfeit the pennant and keep the pitcher because they care about him. The kingdom of heaven is that we would consider people more important than winning. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression." It also says, "What is desirable in a man is his kindness." In the kingdom of God, when we see a fault, we want to cover it over instead of exposing it. If we go light on them, God will go light on us. It all comes down to having this humility which God requires of us. It all comes down to us seeing ourselves as we really are, confessing our sins, confronting the weakness in ourselves, understanding that God's amazing mercy has caused us to be forgiven and accepted by God. When we come to grips with who we really are, this gives us amazing grace toward everyone else, for we all stumble in many ways. So the key to mercy and having mercy toward others is understanding how much mercy God has had for us and continues to have because we continue to make mistakes all the time. So we extend to others the very mercy that God has extended to us. This is the kingdom of God. This is heaven's mentality. With this, we see how much we need God to direct us and to forgive us. Let's examine our hearts this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to His Word in prayer and ask Him to point out the areas where we have stumbled and ask His forgiveness that we might then have a mentality of forgiving others who have stumbled as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come before You today and we recognize that it is but Your grace that has enabled us to stand. It is Your mercy toward us that has made us to be sons and daughters of God. And if You have forgiven us all that we owed to You, how much more should we forgive those who sin against us? Lord, we just bring all of these offenses before You right now. We bring to You all of these hurts, all of these things that others have done to us. We bring them to Your altar this day. And we let the fire of Your Holy Spirit burn them up. And we let them go. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would grant to us to forgive altogether from the heart, that we would no longer carry these offenses around with us. Give us that wonderful freedom to be completely set free of bitterness, of resentment, of a harsh attitude. Help us to be set free to rejoice in God who has forgiven us. May we become new creatures in Christ. Thank You so much for this day, for this lesson, and may we never be the same. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.